Blog Talk Radio.
Power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. But a different reality.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live, Yahuwah's Radio, Thursday of the Feast of Dedication. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast, Yahuwah's Radio, is now on the air. This is a feast of dedication, the third day, the same feast that the Almighty Son in St. John chapter 10, verse 22 and 23, he was keeping this feast radio called the Feast of Dedication. Feast of Dedication stars the true meaning of December the 25th. In 148, the children of Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon regained and captured their land and temple back. They lost it on 145 B.C. on December 25th. Yahuwah let them hold that thing down for 3 years. Then he sent Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon from the southern kingdom of Judah to take them down. And they said in the books that was taken away from you by the Protestant church in 1885, and now they got a word called only called the Apocryphal books. And you say, well, what that word mean? All them is. Them is called the hidden mystery books. No, there ain't no mystery to them. Just tell the truth. The Protestant church removed them out of the book because in the original King James Bible, 1611, you got all 80 books in there. In the original King James, go to your computer and put how many books deals in the original 1611 King James Bible. Then you find out it was 80 books. You say, well, my preacher don't teach out of the 80 books. Well, your preacher don't teach out of it because he's upon a religion called Christianity. And Christianity understand one thing. If you teach out of the 80 books, it's going to reveal things that don't want a Christian to know the true meaning that the people of the book was never Christians. They done the law, statutes, and the commandments, and that's what they was given to do, and that's what they always did. So now it's live broadcasting. So one of the Muslims came on the broadcast, so what we're going to do, we're going to get right to it now. Well, we got one of the Muslims come on. Matter of fact, two of the Muslims came on. Muslims. E and Mother Z. So that's a great thing. So we can get something going on the third day of the feast. Remember one thing, Sierra, get in where you fit in at. Third day of the feast, and this feast goes just like Tabernacle goes. It goes all the way through for 8 straight days. So we be on this broadcast for 8 straight days. We ain't going to miss a beat. And remember, all broadcasting starts on feast days at 7:30. Although those will come early on the temple site and to get in where they fit in at, you know, temple's always ready to go. And matter of fact, all camps too. Coming out of South Carolina, number 6. Baltimore, Maryland, number 5. Detroit, Michigan, number 4. Number 3, Kankakee, Illinois. Number 2, Springfield, Illinois. Number 1, Chicago, Illinois. So if you've been within 70 miles of any one of them locations, get in where you've been in it. And we got some more organizations is talking about joining to be a camp. But like I said again, you got to have some more word in you. Just not, this ain't just based upon a bunch of numbers. You have to know something. So just keep on listening to the broadcast. and learning, and we'll help you out all the way. But one thing about it, we do know sooner or later, it will be a school, banquet hall, radio station, land to grow our own food. So you got to put it out there, Steve Rush. You got to talk about it. But one thing about it, it's going to happen. Land, school, banquet hall, radio station, it's going to happen. You got to talk about it. And the serious job is to bring it to you, your attention. We got to get in where we fit in at. That's the key. Get in where you fit in at. When Almighty puts something on you, then he's putting it on you. You got it? Good. All right, so let's see if we bring one of the mothers in out of Camp 1 and see if she's ready to holler that microphone on the third day of the Feast of Dedication. This is it. Number 3. Remember, all feast days start and Sabbath day start when the sun set. So the sun has set, and that's kicking off the third day of the feast. Man's time is 12:01. Yahuwah's time is when the sun set. So before we bring our mother in, we're going to bring our elder in, because he's going to tell you all about the broadcast on the third day of the feast day. And then mother, then we bring the mothers in, and we'll get something going on the third day of the feast day. But our elder have came on the scene. So elder Mr. Till is on the scene, so we're going to bring our elder in, and he'll tell you all about the broadcast, the third day of the Feast of Dedication. He'll tell you all about it. And then what we'll do, we'll bring the mothers in, and the elder, we'll get something going on, spirit-led through Yahuwah. So when you meet our elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Israel, Yahuwah be your seed right.
And Yahuwah bless you, see Israel, see well. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, yo, hallelujah, Yahuwah. What did we do, Noel? The fox tail have been lit, the curtain have went up, and the Feast of Dedication is the third day of the Feast of Dedication. So, address this national audience is over 900,000 strong, and they saying, what happened to the broadcast? But now they say, we're ready here. So just catch up on the field. That's all we want to do, catch up and keep it moving. So that's a great thing. So now we ready to go, and Elder, Mr. Tibbs, take your time and address this national audience over 900,000 strong on the international side, and take your time to get a little long with it. Why? Grab back and take notes and drink some herbal hot tea there. You on the clock, come on.
Oh, once again, Yahuwah bless you, see you, Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And I guess it would be a common thing for everyone to wonder, what happened to the broadcast? Actually, nothing has happened to the broadcast. It's the people that control it. The only thing they don't control is the word of Yahuwah. And that's what we're in the six anointed camps. You have to remember, we're vested in the word of Yahuwah. We reach out and try to help those that need help. And we give them the word, which encourages their spirit and sinks in their mind the word of Yahuwah. And doing that, their spirit will encourage others. And we do this work because it's already told us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse number 10. It tells us, for Yahuwah is not unrighteous to forget your work, the labor of love that showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and who ministered. And we take pride in ministering the word of Yahuwah, and others that know that, they come to listen. They hear a lot of things that they have not heard before. Some accept it, and some don't. There's problems in the world also that people don't think is actually problems. But you hear it from the elder people. Why is it that the young people of the nation have so many problems? Well, there's too many kids raising kids. And the problem with that, they have not reached an adult frame of mind. But the Bible also tells us once again that mind starts at a child and develops. There's a stage of development where that mind develops with the help of his elders. So It develops up until a point when he becomes an adult. He does the things he's supposed to do. And that's told us in Proverbs, chapter 22, verse number 6. 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he gets old, he will not depart from it. See, this is what it's lacking in the young generation. They're not being trained or taught the way that they should be taught. Just like we just passed Christmas. Well, a kid needs a mind developing stage as he goes through being a kid and develop up to an adult. We teach him those things that are necessary to grow up to be a proper adult. But you always run into those people that want to give you a lot of confrontation. And that takes the training away from everybody else. You hear them in the background making a lot of noise. Well, that noise is talked about in Sirach chapter 11, verse 8. It says, answer not before you've heard the calls, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. Get it right. Once you hear it, you will know. Because we know there's always a history of the world past and the world present. You have to remember our history starts from our birth to our death. And that's what I'm talking about now. But those who fail to learn history correctly are soon to repeat it. Those are people that are going to be doomed in this world and the world to come. And this is why we try to get this out there in your mind, the word of Yahweh, to let you lead that righteous way. Because, you know, we are measured by our works, according to the Bible. You do good works, Yahweh in return, he's going to bless you with good tithes, good offerings, school, banquet hall, everything that you need to manifest yourself in a correct direction. You have to remember that when we're teaching this word, a teacher can't learn from his student. And the reason, he's giving wise counsel that he can back up from the book that he's reading. And we're speaking of the Bible. And having that knowledge even gains more experience by teaching. You see that through the seer. Now, a student can learn from wise counsel and possibly learning to teach one day themselves. And this shows in all the 6 camps that teach the word of Yahweh. And you see it growing up in the people in the temple that are taught the word. Because we all came to hear things that most of us listening to, we never heard. But Yahweh's ministry makes all these things that are confusing very possible, that it becomes a very profound understanding. And this is through proper teaching. Some looking for that teaching never find it. These are the misinformed. They can do none of these things that we're taught. This is why the words of Yahweh that are taught in this ministry makes all this and more possible for the righteous. And that key word, once again, is the righteous. Those are the ones that don't do that. Sirach chapter 11, verse 8. Because we have to know by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts that we're taught, we're given the knowledge to know that those out there that camouflage their evil or confused teachings. Sometimes we see that within the camp. An overly loud bump the drums contest for righteous life, even using Bible scriptures as rebel weapons against us and no. And that's a shame, because this comes under the 6 things of Yahweh 8. You can find that in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. If you take your notes, you'll find out if you fall within that realm. But this is why we mention, and we come to you, with our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry. We're open to you, as always, with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. But it's important also about Yahweh's word, which we hear a lot of pastors always question. People from the Latter-day Saints, they throw the same question out there. How can you people get this much information out of this one book? Well, after they find out what we have to say, it comes from connecting the books, your help, rules that you should keep, keeping the Sabbath days, and much more. We do all of this because you have not. And it's the information that you can anticipate and have now upon it, your voices of the true Israelites, right at that time. To open unto you on the normal days that are not Sabbath days, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those normal days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event, like today, wearing a Sabbath day, as the CRA said earlier. And the top part of Sabbath, usually on Friday, starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath, on a normal Sabbath day, is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. Also, we have a website address. And to use this on any search engine, enter tribeyadjah.com. And I mention this a second time because we have a lot of people that have trouble trying to get to the website. But once again, on your search line, if you put in tribeyadjah.com, click enter. And once again, look for tribeyadjah.com. Dash Israelites. Just go down that list and you'll find it where it says dash Israelites. And under that, you will see a big line. And you'll see some choices. One being tithes and offerings. They pay for health and follow those instructions. However, on any other device, you might see menu. But after clicking links, you'll still see the choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. And so, remember what it tells over must have used the book of Psalms. Chapter 96, verse 7, verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Aqua, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Aqua glory and strength. 8, give unto the Aqua glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. Now, I always remind everyone that's listening to remember that Aqua loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. That you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30. And once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, to verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you blessings, Yahweh online. Also for building a school, a bank call, radio station, and land to grow the help to continue to speak up on this program. I will read that law. Also out there, when you're in that same spot, check out our calendar, which is there to help keep you and your family in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. For also our live program, this is a feature that's available during our broadcast time by entering three words on the search line, Yahweh Radio Live. And after clicking on, look for Voices of the True Israelites and click the red live button as soon as it appears. It will put you right into our live online broadcasts. Also, we have a few numbers you can call with the offline line. It's our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave a message on those Bible scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by anyone of the 600 accounts of Yahweh's ministry. Now, also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, when you're discouraging, click our prior dial tone. Also, by calling that same number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via 12 tribes of Israel. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive the prompt. On another note, we might ask, all the confusion going on, we ask that please do not try to contact us here through email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. We use the WCC. The New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, answered many numbers, and even now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of today's program, you can always listen to the entire show after 10:30 p.m. by entering three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after clicking it, It's the Voices of the True Israelites, Blogger.com. Just choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. And also, during our normal broadcast broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting our information on Pep Talk, which can be logged in by your phone, your tablet, or computer, even nowadays, your smartwatch. Make sure you've downloaded the Pep Talk app. We will be listed under Ethnic Group, African American. When you get there, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Travagadah. You'll find our room will hold 50 or more listening participants. So Yahuwah's Word will also be working for your Bible education. An online there to answer those on-the-table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tios Israel, along with the Seer Israel, writing Shaitan. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Dog Talk. But remember, the information I just gave you on Dog Talk, we used to be quite adamant in logging into Dog Talk and listening to the broadcasts, which can still be done. Yahuwah be with you all.
Bless you all. That's excellent, Elder. That's excellent. So, you mentioned a profound statement on the fact that the matter is we know it's going to be a land school, banquet hall, and radio station. We're clear about that. But we know we're going to have oppositions all the way. So after we get the mothers in, Elder, I want to read a verse that is already prophesied about what you just got through saying. See, one thing about it, I'm a great note maker. I believe I'm a better note taker than trying to do what I'm doing right now. I love taking notes. So, after we bring the mothers in, get all the mothers in, Elder, I want you to look at that Ezra chapter 4, verse 12. We're going to read down until we get our point. Book of, they're going to talk about something that you just got to say. I want to put a precept to what you said based upon the land, school, radio station, banquet hall. They got something written about that. We're going to talk about that in Ezra chapter 4, verse 12. And after we bring the mothers in and get things going for take number three, this is called a feast. A dedication, which is the eight-day feast, is just like tabernacle. Okay? All in between is called bonding. And bonding, first day, you wear your white garments. And the last day, you wear your white garments. In between, you wear your royal blue, brown, or green. But the royal blue is really the 1-2 punch. So now, we understand all this good stuff. So let's see if we get the mothers in, and we're going to see if we can get something going on the feast of dedication. And then we're going to read, we're going to precept what the elder said in Ezra chapter 4, verse 12. We're going to read till we get our point. And then we'll get into the tape of the feast of dedication, tape number 3. Live broadcast. This is it. It's live broadcast. So now, let's see if we bring the mothers in. Let's see, can we bring the mothers in and make sure they on stage, ready to go and take care of this business and dust their job for us. Mother E, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Y'all probably bitch at C. Ray.
Y'all probably bitch at Israel or C. Ross. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Mother Z, another one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Y'all probably bitch at C. Ray.
But we ain't in here.
Okay, hallelujah, Rob. All right, we'll get in a little bit later. Mother D.F. Israel, no one knows how to count one. Yahuwah be there, see Roy.
Yahuwah bless you, see Israel of see Roy.
Hallelujah,
Rob.
Hallelujah, Rob. Right. I was ready to go. The elder was ready to go. That's what we talking about. That's a sign. That's a sign. Yahweh said once the sign is on the table, I got no trouble to come in. One thing he going to honor is his word. So, Elder Mr. Tibbs, what do it say in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 there, Elder? We're going to get a couple verses in, then we'll take a look at that EZRA 4, verse 12 a little bit. But what do it say in Matthew 10, 19? Hey, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, what does it say that national audience can have you bring it out in grand style? Matthew 10, 19, what does it say, Elder?
In the book of Matthew, looking at chapter 10, reading verse 19, it says, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak."
So just be prepared to hear something and make your move according to some dust as y'all come. Be ready to always hear something. That's the key. Be ready to hear something, and y'all probably give you the right spirit at that right hour to deliver. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. What does it say, Elder? What does Luke 12 say, Elder?
In the book of Luke, chapter 12, reading verse number 12, says, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say."
What you ought to say, exactly right. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And that's a great thing. So we're going to take a look at EZRA chapter 4, verse 12. Hey, Elder, we're going to read a little bit. And Mother E, Tell me Isaiah 44, Mother E, verse number 1, and skip down 21 and 22. And Mother D of Israel, help me 14 down to verse 19, the book of Isaiah, Mother E, Mother D of Israel. Help me Isaiah 44, 14 down to verse 19. All right, Elder, let's go to that EZRA, Elder. Let's see what EZRA chapter 4, verse 12 say. Let's read a little bit. Take your time, Elder. The world is listening over 900,000 strong on the international side, and they listening in grand style, so bring your A-game and get in that microphone and come on.
In the book of Ezra, chapter 4, reading verse 12, says, "Be it known to the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are from Jerusalem, Yadda Jews, building up the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up walls thereof, and joined the foundations."
I tell you what, I'll read verse 4 again, and skip down to verse 12, read that again. Elder, it can explain what this Jew means, and I'll read verse 4, then skip down to verse 12, and we're going to read a little bit and find out what's going on. Read EZRA chapter 4, verse 4 first, and skip down to verse 12, and break down what that Jew really means in verse 4. What does it say?
Reading chapter 4, verse 4, and skipping to 12, where it says, "Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building."
Good.
"Let it be known to the king that Judah, which came up with thee, to us are from Yadda Judah, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up walls thereof and joined the foundations.
Go ahead.
Okay, next verse. 13. Daniel known to the king.
Oh. Verse 13.
13. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be built and the walls set up again, then they will not pay tribute and custom. And so thou shalt advantage the revenue of the kings.
Hold that point right there. Now, you say, they said, now Judah started talking about building, getting land, school, banquet hall, and radio station together. Now, be this known unto those that's opposition of against that kind of mindset. If they get that land, school, banquet hall, and radio station up and running, what do you say in 13? What's going to happen in 13 again, Ed? A little bit more audio?
Verse number 13 says, be it known now to the king that if this city be built and the walls set up again, then they will not pay toll, tribute, and custom. And so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings.
14.
Now because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not met for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore we sent and certified the king.
Hold that point. He said now, since we are being nourished by you, that what it means by manus, Canaan, since we've been nourished by you and we are part of your rule, we think you need to know if the Yahuwah's voices of the true Israelite set up that school, banquet hall, radio station, start growing their own food, we're going to be in trouble because that's going to be the kickoff to our ruin. So now, they got the king's attention why the snitcher, they call these the snitches. They call them today. They call them, what word did you use today? I use words. They call them informants or what word they use.
Informants.
I can't think of it right now. It was another word they used for this right here. They got another old word they use for the one that runs and tells the matter. I can't think of it right now. It might come to me later. It comes to anybody on the panel.
Uncle Tom.
That's another word. So what now? Elder?
From the top, Brother Sear, they call you Uncle Tom. You can't hold your tongue.
Okay. Yeah, but it's got another word for it too, Elder. It'll come to me later on. It's a new word they use now, the informants. They got another word for them, the informants right now. They got another word for them. It'll come to me later, but we leave that alone. Verse 15, come on.
Verse 15, yes. That search may be in the book of the records of thy fathers. So thou shalt find in the book of the records and know that this city is a rebellious city and hurtful unto kings and prophets, that they have moved sedition unto the same of old time, which caused this city destroyed.
16.
We certify the king that if this city be built again and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river.
You hear what he said? If this land, school, banquet hall, and radio station be set up, Yahuwah's voice of the true Israelite, then we know we're in trouble. So we know that, so it's already written that the opposition already got in their mind. They know once YHWH, Yahweh, Voices of a True Israelite, get off into their own, growing their own food, got the students in, and the young ones, you know, it's hard to deal with the older heads because Christianity has set in real deep. But Yahweh still can deal with that too. But we got to reach the younger ones, the one that's sitting on the push right now crying because their parents was not able to buy them nothing. And the parents that was able to buy their kids something, they come to school and they are pranced around with what you get for Christmas, what you get. Oh, $9.99, now you didn't get nothing. See, that is a bad feeling because they have not been taught the true meaning of December 25th ain't got nothing to do with Christmas, Santa Claus, buying presents. When you read John chapter 10, 22-23, the Almighty Son came out of Nazareth 70 miles to keep that 8-day feast, and we're on the 3rd-day feast. The feast ain't got nothing to do with Christmas, Christmas trees, Merry Christmas, Santa Claus doing anything, all that stuff. It's paganism from Satan the devil. But what happened to those that people have lost relationships because they was not able to buy something, and the woman or the man have broke away from the relationship and get around somebody that can do it, again, 9 months later, you got something going on different because of the paganism that's been set up by the world scene. And that's why we call the broadcast to tell you plainly, the preachers that receive your tithes, free will offering, and donations, they wrong. Because they never taught you the true meaning of December 25th, they are wrong. But you say, well, they didn't know. Well, they don't know, they're supposed to seek information to know. Because if you really want to know the truth about December 25th, you look into the broadcast. And then if you want to help the people and not help yourself, you will understand December 25th is a day that the children of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi recaptured their land and temple back from Esau and his five sons and the other nations that was in with them. It started in 145 B.C. when the children of Israel lost their temple and brought in the abomination of desolation. And Yahweh let it go for 3 years. And then he strengthened the hand of Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon to whip Esau and his five sons and all other nations with him and beat them by that. And they said, same day we lost this 3 years ago, we have gained it back. So now what we're going to do is celebrate this throughout eternity, December 25, 148 B.C. It's in the last taping exactly what happened. So you take the last tape number one, two, and you tie it in together on a piece of dedication, you know clearly December 25th is a dedication day of the children of Israel regaining their freedom back and be able to worship Yahweh with the, matter of fact, mother, dear of Israel, help me have this, write this verse down for me, Luke 1, 6 to 7. Luke 72, that's how the Spirit operates. So write that verse down for those here. Luke 1, 6 to 7 down to verse 72. Had that just had it in writing, and I come back and ask you about that verse. You already
okay,
got it
okay, Luke, I didn't get the book. What book?
Luke. Take your time, Luke. We got plenty of time. Remember.
I know
your
voice is fading.
Hold on, Mother. We gonna take care of all that. We're going to repeat it again. And remember one thing. Our job is to edify this national audience over 900,000 strong to understand that this December 25th got nothing to do with Merry Christmas, nothing to do with hog eating, nothing to do with none of that. We're going to break it all down, but the Spirit of Yahweh gave me a verse in Luke chapter 1, 67 through 72, just had it laying to the side waiting on me. Now, getting back to what we own, that's how we come humble. But we have to help those that need to help the one understand something. We're going to always be in this trouble on all these holidays that man have created. It ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. And if your pastor teach Christmas, if you got a Christmas tree and lights and all that going on, your preacher is not right. Tell you bottom line. If he don't know it, he's supposed to know it. Because you don't get behind a automobile or get in an airplane and you can't fly it. So why would you get in that? Why would you all of a sudden go, oh, we need a pilot to fly this airplane? You say, I volunteer, I do it. Hey, you know, no, I ain't never rode a bicycle. Well, why would you want to go get off an airplane and kill yourself and everybody to get in there with you? The same thing about these pastors. If they don't know this, shame on them. But you know about tithes, free will offering, and donations. But you don't know about the true meaning of December 25th. Shame on you. He a midget ain't going to make you shorter than a midget by continuing in that understanding. Now, so now we find out in EZRA, Elder, we find out that the snitches, informants, told the big king, look, if you let them people put that temple back up again and build the walls back up, it's going to damage your revenue. So let's make sure we put a stop to them. So he said, I'll tell you what, I ain't never heard about no YHWH, Voice of the Truth Light. So he said, so he said something in verse 15. They made a what in verse 15 again, Elder? In EZRA 4:15, what did they do again in 4:15 of Ezra? Come on.
And Ezra chapter 4, verse 15 says, that search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers, so that thou shalt find in the books of records, and how that city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto the kings and prophets, that they have won sedition with the same of old times, for which cause was this city, which caused this city destroyed.
Oh, okay, well, hold that point, Elder. I'm going to let Mother E pick this up. Look up the word called sedition for the national audience. What do you mean by they have moved sedition and within the same of old time? What's that word mean for the national audience, Elder? I don't know what that word means, and when you got it, say hallelujah, well, hey, Mother E, pick this up at verse number 15. You got it already, Elder?
That's what you said. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What's in verse 18? I mean, what's that word sedition mean for the national audience?
Sedition is an overt conduct such as speech or organization that tends toward rebellions against the established order. Sedition often includes subversion of a constitution.
So they have moved sedition within an old time. That means they were rebellious against the system. So otherwise they were rebellious against Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Lord God and Jesus, and sun worshiping. They was rebellious against what the other nations have set up. Well, you know, well, hold that point. I got to get a precept out of that. Hey, Mother E, I got to get a precept out of that, Mother E. I need a precept. I know you, I swear you got your five markers, Mother. You put the mark mean, on whatever you hold him, Mother Eve. I need a precept on that. So you mean the sedition means they didn't want to hear about your Christmas, Easter, or Thanksgiving. David, and they had a meeting place to come and to help those that had it here. Now, I need a precept on that, Mother. Let's find out what they got written in the book of Esther, E-S-T-H-E-R, pertaining to that. That's how the spirit operates, Mother. Let's see if we find out some more information on that, Mother, and E-Z-R-A, Ezra. We want to find out what is mindset coming from, Mother. We want to find out what is mindset coming from. We go on to Esther, chapter 3, Mother. We want to find out if any record on this mindset that goes on continually even to this day. Let's see what we can read, Mother. Let's see what I want. EZRA. See, now I'm all over the place right now. But it's very important for me to come up with this verse, Mother E. In EZRA. So now, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it somewhere, Mother. But I'm struggling right now, Mother. I mean, I'm struggling big time on coming with the answer. So if one of the mothers want to help those say out, because right now I'm struggling on coming up with the answer. Let me look into the Bible then. Let me look. So I'm struggling right now. I was waiting until it coming in my head, but it didn't. So let me look. Unless one of y'all gonna have to say out, so that I think this statement has been made, and what happened, the world has looked at what has happened in ancient days, mothers, elders, and what they do, they go back and read your records, and they apply the same records of old as they apply today, the body, company, you and the mind. And see, once they get you at the point that you do not understand the laws that we read in last night's lesson in Book of Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 49, hey, Mother D.F. Israel, read up those here in the national ordinance in 1 Maccabees 1, 49. Can you read that? And Mother E., tell me Esther chapter 3, verse 8 down, verse number 10, 8 and 10. I thought you want to tie that in before we get back. See, that's how the spirit of Yahweh operates. You don't never know where you're going. That's why when you hear something, you got to deal with it. So now, Mother D of Israel, can you help the national ordinance out in 149? We'll read verse 48 and 49. What it says in 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 48 and 49. What's for that, Mother?
First Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 48 and 49.
Mm-hmm.
And we read verse 48. They that should also leave their children uncircumcised and make their souls abominable with all manner of uncleanness and profane nation. 49. To the end they might forget the law and change all the ordinance.
See how they operate, Mother? They had you forget the true meaning of December 25th. And now you're doing the pagan thing on December 25th. See, the true meaning of December 25th will have been taught by the preachers that have the big congregations, but they won't teach on it. See, the true meaning of the December 25th is when the children of Israel went into captivity. And the true meaning is when they regained it in 3 years, and they dedicated for 8 days to have a feast and a remembrance about how they whooped Esau and his five sons and the other nations on December 25th, 148 B.C. But your preachers ain't going to talk about it. But we're going to talk about it so we can read it. See, that is the true meaning of December 25th. So now we're going to read this mindset, because what they do, they'll search your weapons and come up with how to deal with you today by your weapons. They know it's your record, but they're not going to tell you this is your record. They'll tell you that you African-American, Negro in color, and Hispanic, and Latinos, or Mexican, or somebody. They'll tell you everything but the children of Israel. And then you never find yourself, and you never can put this together. But we're going to put it together. Now, and Mother E, now what it says that we can read this mindset and enter Esther, chapter 3, verse 8 down to verse 11. Well, to say that, Mother, you take your time and address the national orders in grand style. Come on.
Book of Esther, chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. Verse 8. And Haman said unto the king, Esther, there is a certain people gathered abroad and dispersed among the people and all departments of the kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's law. Therefore it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. Verse 9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. Verse 10. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedath. Hammedath. That the Agag, the Jews' enemy. Verse 11. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also to do with them as it seems good to thee. Verse 11, and the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also to do with them as it seems good to thee.
Okay. I'm missing my hit, Mother. I'm missing something. I'm missing my hit. Who is this Haman? I'm missing the verse. I ain't hearing. They tell you who this guy is, Mother. But I'm struggling right now. But they got a statement about who he is, Mother. He's in verse 10. It tells us who this Haman, this Agagite. This is called the Ashkenazis, the one you call today Ashkenazis. So this Ashkenazi, Mother, in verse 10. Can you read verse 10 again for the national audience, Mother? What it says in verse 10, this Hamadatha, the Agagite, which is called an Ashkenazi, he's the what, Mother, in verse 10? 3 verse 10, what is he in 3:10?
Okay. Chapter 4, verse 10.
Chapter 3, verse 10. Yeah, chapter 3, verse 10. mother eat. Let's start all back over, because really, I'm kind of all over the place right now. But start back over again in Esther chapter 3, verse 8 down to verse 10. We got plenty of time. It's a message in here that we're going to tie this precept in. So in Esther, E-S-T-H-E-R, chapter 3 for the national audience, said, okay, look at verse 8 down to verse 11. Take your time there, mother, and deliver the knockout blow in. E-S-T-H-E-R,
yep.
Chapter 3, verse 8, 9, 10. Come on.
Esther, chapter 3, verses 8 to 11, right? And Haman said unto the king, Esther, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of the kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's law. Therefore it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. Verse 9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to debt to thee, to the hand of those that have the charge of the business, to bring it into the king's treasury. Verse 10. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Haman, doctor, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy.
Judah's enemy, huh? Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon's enemy. So he says, my mother, what would you say for a minute? Now, it says that he told the king that, you know, you got a certain people that have been scattered abroad. These people been scattered abroad. And I just want to precept that for the national audience sake, Mother dear Israel, just for the national audience sake, could we come on to edify the national audience? And what people is this that are scattered abroad? Let's go and see, can we find out what people are talking about? There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the province of the king, and their laws are diverse from all other peoples. Neither keep they the king's law. Yet, see, they don't keep the king's law. So remember when we were reading the book of Maccabees, this is where the Maccabees got it. They had your records. They know to keep Yahuwah always kicking you in the rear, because you will not keep his laws, statutes, and commandments. And they know if they can get you to not keep the true laws, statutes, and commandments, then Yahuwah got no choice but to pay you no never mind, because he ain't going to deal with you until you recognize you from the pages of the book. So they read, so the king, the mother read in the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, 48 and 49, he was reading this. One of his big dignitaries said, listen, if you get the children of Israel, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, to not do the Bible, then the Almighty would not help them, and we can whoop them back. We can whoop them real good. So all we got to do is tell them that from now on, hog eating, chicken and cow eating, and just mess your stomach up and have all kind of high blood pressure and everything else, because we're not going to tell you that in Leviticus chapter 11, that kind of food you're supposed to eat. See, we're going to hide your records and burn your books up. Ain't that what they're doing today? So now we find out here where they're getting their record from about destroying your mind, and then you'll do everything that the nation's doing. Ain't that what you're doing right now? And you're doing the Christmas, the Merry Christmas, and the get where my present is up under the tree. Ain't you doing it right now? Ain't you keeping Sunday instead of Friday night to Saturday night? Ain't you doing that right now? Yes. So he ain't go over him. He said, these certain peoples that been scattered among, they ain't not going to do right. So he said, these peoples right here, hey, Mother Eve, he said, something that he said, Mother, in 13. Now, we need to read verse 13, Mother Eve. What he said, Esther, about these peoples in verse 13? Esther 3:13. What did he say?
Look at Esther chapter 3, verse 13.
Uh-huh.
And the letter was sent by post unto all the king's parties to destroy, to kill, and to cause to priest.
Cause to perish.
And cause to kill
perish.
And to cause to perish all Yahweh's Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar.
That's good. So now look at that mother. Look what we got here. You mean that it's records on exactly what to do that they're doing today. His records, the letters went out, was sent by the post, that, you know, that's called a postman, you know, they mail to all the province, unto all the king's province, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon, whether you both young or old, even little children and women, in one day. They said, we want you to kill, I want you to kill them all in one day. And what's the reason you want to kill, what's the reason you want to kill them for? Hey, Mother E, tell me up those here. Fuck with those here for a minute. What is the reason you want to kill Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon according to Esther chapter 3, verse 8? Why do you want to kill Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon according to 3, verse 8? What did it say to that mother?
Because they were diverse from all the nations.
Now, let's read a little bit, Mother. Let's go read. We want to edify the national audience. We want to edify the national audience. Why do you want to kill all of Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon? We want to edify the national audience according to Esther chapter 3, verse 8. Just take your time, Mother, and deliver that knockout blow in verse 8. But it's already in records. What does it say in 3, verse 8?
Esther chapter 3, verse 8. And Haman said unto King Ashur, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people and all the tribes of the kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's law. Therefore, it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them.
So he said, it's not to the king's prophet to suffer them. He said, since they want to keep the king, they want to keep your Christmas, your Easter, your Thanksgiving. They want to eat your hog, your chicken, your cow, and they don't want to do Sunday. They want to do Friday night, Saturday night. He's a king. They ain't fit to live. you can't go no further. If they continue and spread this thing in the bubble, you in trouble, King. Today ain't fit to live. Ain't that something? He said, now these people just is been spread abroad. Now, mother, for the national audience sake, mother, who are these people that have been spread abroad that we can read? We're going to Peter chapter 1, verse 1, mother. Then we're going to James 1, verse 1. You're going to let the Bible find out what people is he talking about that have been scattered abroad. He said, they not fit to live. Because they ain't going to keep what we put on the table. We got Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas trees, eat all the hog you can get your mouth on, especially on January the 1st. We got all them laws that we do. But you got a people's call, Yahweh's voice over to Israelites saying, we don't supposed to eat that kind of stuff. Okay? So, and you to my letting them get back into man school, banquet hall, and radio station, we in trouble, King. Because if they set the walls up, we in trouble. If they start teaching the young youth, small youth, that you ain't got to be crying because mama didn't buy you nothing for Christmas. And then the young men don't want to be teasing one another. Nah, 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 mama didn't get you nothing, and I got something, see? So we're going to break that spirit. That's why we tell those that got an ear to hear, get in where you've been in that land to grow your own food. School. Eat your babies properly. Banquet hall. Check them up and shake them down. And your own radio station. But you see what they did for us up through that? They said, look here. We can do what we want to do. It's our radio station. See? So everything is scary, but we know all these things must come to pass. That's why we got to get in where we've been in it and get prepared to have our own. And that was still is reading in EZRA. He's a king. If you let Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon sit them walls up, you in trouble. Same thing he's saying today. If you let this ministry, Yahweh's voice of the truth, right, continue to talk that good talk and wake the peoples up, you're going to damage the revenue. They ain't going to be eating that Chinese food. They're not going to be eating that hog and that cow and that chicken. They ain't not going to be eating no beans, rice, and spaghetti. That stuff that clogs the arteries all up. You see? You get we lose. We lose. So we got to do everything we can to slow that ministry down called Yahweh's Voices of the True Israelites. So you see, it's all of it, and they look at your records on how to deal with you today. By your records. You see? So now what people, there's a certain people that have been scattered abroad and dispersed among the people. Now mother going to precept that to find out who are these people that he's talking about in Peter 1:1. Hey, mother, be up Israel. Who are we talking about? Come on, let's read a little bit. Come on.
Peter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Yahweh the Son, to the stranger scattered throughout Pontus, Galilee, Cappadonia, Asia, and B. I don't know that word.
Okay, good, mother. So he talks to the stranger, you're scattered. So what stranger are you talking about in James 1:1? What is the name of these strangers, mother? Let's see if we tie this in with the precept. Who are these strangers you're talking about in James 1:1? Who are you talking about, mother? D up Israel. James 1:1.
Okay.
James chapter 1,
verse 1. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of Yahuwah and of Yahuwah the Son, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings.
Oh, so the one that's scattered is the 12 tribes. So this right here, when we read in Esther 3, verse 8, there is a certain people that's scattered abroad. So with the precept that Mother D. of Israel came up with in James 1:1, it's the 12 tribes. Now, Mother D. of Israel, let's go see her now. Who are these 12 tribes in 49:28 of the book of Genesis? Let's tie it on in. Let's tie it on in for the national order to understand that this prophecy about these, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people, you should not suffer them to live. That means you should kill them. Why? Because they don't want to keep your Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, and sun worshiping. And they want to worship the white man Jesus and the white woman and the white baby. They don't want to bow down to statues. So they ain't fit to be getting nowhere because it's going to damage the revenue. We can't put out how one out Satan working on them, telling them go and get your Christmas trees and do all that bowing down. You know, that ministry is very hurtful to everybody of the economy. You see that? So you see what's going on here? Here it is. So this is where they were pulling that from. Well, Mother read in the book of Maccabees, chapter 1, 48 and 49. So we got to remove these books so we tell our Christian pastors today, look, we're not up under the law. We're up under grace now. We ain't got to keep no law. We're up under grace. Everything on that left side of the book is done away with since our Lord Jesus Christ have came. Well, if that's the case, then what was our Lord Jesus Christ doing in St. John 10:21, 22, and 23? He was keeping the feast of dedication. And you're not going to find the feast of dedication nowhere in the 66 books. You got to get the books that were taken out in 1885. So why was he keeping it? Because it wasn't done away with. But it was done away with to keep you sin against your mighty one. And as long as you sin against your mighty one, he cannot help you. And we're going to read that. Excellent. So now we clear that in this verse of Esther 3:8, it's talking about Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. And he says in verse number 10, the descendants of Esau, the Haggagites, which is called Amalek, that is Judah, Benjamin, and Levi's enemies. Now look at that. Ain't that something? You mean all this in this book? Yes, it's in this book. But you got to be in a ministry that know how to unlock this mystery. And it starts by you knowing who you are. So we're going to bring our young lion in. He's going to tell you all about the broadcast, and he's going to read me a verse over there in verse 3 of the book of Thomas. Then we're going to first bring the young lion in. Young lion Makai, one of them up and coming teachers out of Camp 1. He's going to tell you all about the broadcast coming on. He come back with our elder. But after you tell us all about who carrying the broadcast and young lion, then I want you to read Thomas chapter 3. Huh? Thomas chapter 3. Because here's the point. Listen, they got you as African American, Negro in color, supercone, and black. But that's not none of you. That's not you at all. Huh? As long as you're identified and Christian. As long as you identify with that and Muslim, as long as you identify that, you will never see yourself in this book. You will never see by reading Esther chapter 3, there is a certain people that's scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples that ain't fit to live. Don't suffer them. Let's kill them. Let's kill who? I'll tell you in verse 13. Let's destroy them and kill in the cause to make them perish, all Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. And what are we going to kill? Let's kill the young ones right there in verse 13. Let's kill the old, even the little child, and the woman. Let's kill them all. You see that mindset? Why do you want to kill all these people? Because they don't want to keep what you got on the table. They don't eat your hog, your chicken, and your cow. So you want to kill them by that? They don't want to keep your Sunday? Because they know that's the wrong day. They want to call his name Lord God and Jesus Christ and Allah and Buddha and Jehovah. You want to kill them by that? Yes. Because if they get up out of that one name, then according to Zechariah 9:14, YHWH will be seen over them. And then he going to start busting some heads. And they know that, see. They're going to do everything they can to keep you away from this ministry. They're going to do everything they can to keep you with alligator pockets where you not contribute to the ministry for a land, school, banquet, all the radio stations. They're going to give you all excuses not to donate, contribute to this ministry for the land, school, banquet hall, and radio station. Okay? And your own people's going to be the one that got the alligator on. Notice, arms can't reach in their pockets no more. For what reason? Land, school, radio station, and banquet hall. We got to get it. It's up to you. Wake up. So we're going to bring our young mind in. And remember one thing. We on all week at 7:30. So now, you know the elder one kicked this off, so the elder put this on the table. So now all we done was taking notes and let the spirit of Yahweh take care. So now we'll bring a young lion in and we'll get back with our elder. And we'll grab the young lion that came on stage. And he'll tell you all about the broadcast. He's going to read what Thomas, you know, a guy called Dalton Thomas. Yahweh said, come here, come here. Come here, man. I want to talk to you. Let me tell you something. You put this in your book. And young lion gonna read in verse 3 what Yahweh told Thomas to put in the book. You got it? Good. Let's see how to bring that young lion in, that young roaring lion out of Camp 1, and see if he's ready to holler in that microphone. And is he coming peacefully? We're gonna find out. So when you meet the young lion, Brother Makai Israel, one of them up and coming teachers out of Camp 1, Yahweh be to that thing ready. Brother Makai Israel, Yahweh be to that thing right here. Now, WCC, where is the microphone at? See, you and brought him on hard. We're going to mute him for a minute. Go back to the elder. Now, listen at that. Go back to the elder. You see that? You see how they roll? All right, y'all, let's go back. A young lion, when they release your microphone, say, hallelujah, Yahweh, young lion. Right now, WCC said, go back to the elder. Because you don't brought him on too good. Now, you don't got too happy. So, hey, yo, let's go back to where we were in EZRA with all that understanding. We're coming back, Elder. We're coming back, Elder, to EZRA. It don't take much to get those fear happy because once you hear the right precept, here in that very same hour, he'll see what to say and do. And I believe that. So now we see what he's just come from today. They look at your old records, and they say, when they violated against the records that they agreed on doing, that'll be their ruin. So long as they're doing all these things contrary to the Bible, then we can live another day. But once they stop doing the things that is not written in the Bible, then we're in trouble. So that's why you see they fight so hard to do what they're doing. Got it? Good. Now, back to our elder. Let's go back and hear that conversation again over there in EZRA, elder. They taught us some pretty good. He had some, that's another word they call informants. They call that another word now. They call them another word. It's a high-tech word they call them now. They don't call them informants no more. They call them another word. And this is what we read right now. It'll come back to me, that new word they got for called what Elder say they was, got that word he used. Hey, what that word you use again? That last word you said it was called, or what, Elder? Elder, Mr. Tiff? Now, what the hell is that? Here, we're going to mute the Elder for a little bit, too. Ain't that something? Well, who ain't mute? Hey, Mother Eve, is you still Mother Eve? Yahweh bless you, Mother Eve.
Yahweh bless you, sir, Israel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Mother Eve, Israel. Yahweh bless you, sir, right?
Yahweh bless you, sir, Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay. Sister BSJ Israel, you listen real good, Sister BSJ Israel. She said, I ain't ready to key that microphone at here, but I'm getting ready to key that microphone real soon, and that's a great thing. Now, so we find out, so Elder, Mr. Tibbs, and Brother Micaiah, once y'all microphone is back ready, say hallelujah, wow. Right now, the WCC saying, we're going to mute your microphone for a minute or two. So once you're ready to go, then release your microphone, just say hallelujah. So now I got to make a slight detour now, because right now we're going to find out something on the way of finding out something. No, I'll tell you what. Hey, Mother E. No, Mother D up Israel. Let's go back to the EZRA. It's still some more left. It's still a little bit more. A couple more shots left in that EZRA, Mother D.F. Israel. But we know you got, remember, we know you brought 5 or 6 markers already. We clear you got 5 or 6 markers. And you got all your markers in the book, so that's a great thing. So we're going back to EZRA, Mother D.F. Israel. And we want to read, you mean all this record is in the book, and how they operate today, it's telling you that you don't need the Old Testament no more, but that's gone away with. But you go back and read it to deliver us up. You see what they do? Hypocrites. Say, you don't go back and do it, but they do it. Okay, Mother. And EZRA, Mother. Let's read verse 15 again. Or verse 15. Oh, see, I got happy on the third day of the feast. 4:15 of EZRA, what did it say?
Ezra chapter 4, verse 15. The search may be made in the book of records of your father. So shall thou find in the book of the record, and know that this city is a rebellious city and hurtful unto kings and providence, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old times, for which cause was this city destroyed.
I guess so. He said, this city right here, he said, if you look at King, before you give him all that leeway to get back up off of that thing, you better watch yourself now. Verse 16.
Verse 16. We certify the king that if this city be built again and the walls thereof set up by this means, thou shalt have no portion on this side the river.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You see a whole lot of stuff going on. Verse 17. Listen, take your time, Mother. You on something now, Mother. Do the best you can there, Mother, in verse 17.
Well, you're right about that. Verse 17. Then sent the king and answer unto Ruara, the chancellor?
The counselor.
And to the...
Yep.
S, the scribe.
Yes.
And to the rest of their company that dwell in Samaria. And unto the rest beyond the river, peace, and at such a time.
Verse 18. Take time on verse 18, Mother.
The letters which you sent unto us have been plainly read before me.
You hear what you say, Mama? Hey, look here. That informant that sent that message that he was over there where the children of Israel, he was over there in Samaria in the northern part of Israel. So he sent the donkey, the carrier, to carry the message to the king. He said, look here, I'm over here. We start seeing them putting the walls up again, and they trying to get their land, school, banquet hall, and radio station going again. He said, look at King. You better check their records, because if they get back into that spot again, it's going to be damage on our Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving, and New Year's. So he said, and the king said, I plainly had the letter read before me. Let's see what he says in verse 19. Now the king said, I have received a letter. He answered them back now, his informants. They got a new word for the word called informants today. I can't think of it right now. It's a new word they call them. You come back to me later. Mm-hmm. They got a new word for those that be always got the long neck and stretching and peeping on what you're doing and running till them out. That's a new word for it now. Come back to me now. Verse 19.
And I commanded, and search has been made, and it is found that this city of old time has made instructions against King. Insurrection against kings, and that rebellious and seduction
have been made day. He said, hold on. He said, look here. He said, I'm plainly read. I hadn't go do the research. Go bring me the information about them Yahweh's boss over to his wife. We heard it. They something else. He said, now, the records have been plainly read before me. He said, you snitches and you, those that got long giraffe necks, you've been peeping good for me. I appreciate that. He said, I got that. He said, now, I read the records now about these peoples called Yahweh's bosses over to Israelites. What did he say in verse 20?
Verse 20. There have been mighty kings also over Yahdah Judah, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river and tolls. Tribute and custom was paid unto them.
Ain't that something? Hold on a minute. Did you hear the man, friend? He said, it's records that once upon a time ago, the world paid Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, Simeon. They had to come and bring their offering to you. Now, what preacher, what Christian pastor have ever told you that all we know about us, that they had to bring us over to America because we had no clothes on and we was eating one another. And we were dumb as all our doughs. And no preacher of a Christianity pastor have ever said, no, you once was, there have been mighty kings over Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon, which have ruled over all countries I mean, why they can't never, why we don't pay our tithes? We will often donate. Why we don't know nothing about that? Why they got the degrees on the wall and we don't know once upon a time ago the whole world paid us? Every nation came in and dropped their 10% down in their pockets because we were the center capital of the world. So whatever move they made, they'll stop by and pay us. It said it's in the records, but I don't know what one Christian pastor that ever read Ezra chapter 4, verse 20, and told the congregation once upon a time ago, did you know you was the big wheels? Everybody came and put some money in your pocket? You thought you always been, no. This is what builds the people back up again. This is the record you need to be telling your young babies. You always get to tell them about you watching, they watching everybody else getting ahead, but we was once ahead. But manipulation got us in bad shape, but now we trying to show you how to come out of this thing by giving the king back his hog, his chicken, his cow, his beans, his rice, and spaghetti, and coming back and giving Sunday back to him, keeping Friday night, Saturday night. We try to tell you what get Yahweh to get back be saved over you. See? But you got a lot of them that look just like you going to fight against this. That's your preacher. He even don't tell you this. We going to tell it to you on the third day of the Feast of Dedication. Now, so now skip down to verse 22, Mo. We can't stay here too much longer for time's sake. Get down to verse 22.
Right. Ezra chapter 4, verse 22. Take heed now that you fail not. Fail not to do this. Why should danger grow, grow to the hurt of the king?
King, you don't let them get back into any type of shining the bright light. Let them get back off into where they got to get to. We in trouble. You get them with a school, a banquet hall, they can grow their own food. They're going to smell up their nose at our chicken, cow, and hog. See? So we got to do everything we can to discourage them. See? That was a snitch. Remind them of that. You see that? The snitches. I didn't think of the name they used for the snitches today. We found out on the way to find out something? Good. Since this patient said, look here, how long are you going to leave the elders and the young lion's microphone mute? As long as we want to. Okay. Hey, your radio station. So now, Mother E, you know we're holding a lot of things, but still got happy. Because one thing about it, and Isaiah chapter 44, can you help them see out? Now, give me that verse I told you to write it down and put it aside for me. Isaiah 44, verse 1, 21 and 22. Let's see if we make another little slight detour, Mother E. Make a little slight detour for a minute. Let's find out what is such a fuss about this ministry. And look what he says. Here you got over 900,000 on the international side. How many of you think is pro YHWH Voices of a Jewish Life? I don't know. We know you're gonna stack the debt. We know that y'all are the primary listeners on the international side. We clear about that. But he got a verse written in a mother DF Israel. They got a verse written in 36 chapter verse 8 of Ezekiel. And you have to see out in 36 verse 8, but it is a verse that will answer your question.
Ezekiel 36.
Yeah, verse 8.
Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 8, read, "But you, O mountain of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come."
So, mother, we at what, mother? Hey, mother, what is... Yahweh's
voice
number two is like, we are at
hand to come.
We at hand to come. That's how you answer them through scripture. See, you always answer through scripture. We know we at hand to come. We know it's not going to always remain the way it is. See? That's why we keep telling the six anointed camps, you got to get in order. Gotta learn these scriptures. Gotta know how to precept your Bible. You know? Get in where you fit in at. Donate, contribute to this ministry. For what reason? Land, school, banquet hall, radio station, you know. Wild fear gonna tell you what to do. And then you supposed to follow up on it. Okay, now mother. Now, Isaiah fear, he was given something to write down in 44, verse 1. And 21, 22. Now, take your time there, Mother E, and let's talk about Isaiah 44, verse 1, 21, 22. What did it say there, Mother E?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 1, and verse 21 to 22. Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Verse 21. Remember these, O Israel, and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sin. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee.
Oh, hey, mother. What we got to do again, mother? It says, he said, I don't took care of my part. You got to take care of your part in verse 22 by doing what? Return unto me, or I have redeemed you. He said, now listen. He said, I'm sending the seer to you and the six anointed counts. He said, now your part, what you got to do is return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. See that mother, you see what we got to do, mother? All we got to do with the man saying, he said, listen, he said, remember this old 12 tribes of Israel, 21. He said, now listen, if you return back to me, I will return back to you. Here he went down, verse 22. And what's the sign of him turning back to us, mother? Give me 23 and 24. Now I don't got to happy again now, mother. Now look what it said in verse 23. The sign of you turning back to him, let's see exactly your demeanor according to the Bible in 23 and 24. What is that,
Mother E? Isaiah chapter 44, verse 23 and verse 24. Verse 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Yahweh hath done it. Shout ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth unto the same, ye mountains of forest, and ever trees therein. For the Yahweh has redeemed Jacob, Israel, and glorified him in Israel. verse 24. Thus said the Yahweh, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Yahweh that makes all things, that stretches forth the heaven alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself.
Ain't that something? Now, that did cover that, Mother, but in last night's lesson, Mother, that part of it there had been taken care of. Who is this Yahweh doing all that? So you got to go back over the taping and Feast of Dedication, take two, and that break down who was the Yahweh that have done all this great thing. So you got to keep up. If you miss a class, you miss a lot. So in take one, two, it takes care of all that, who that is. So we're not going back over that. You got to go back over take one and two. Now, Mother E, the of Israel. Now, in the 44, verse number
14 and 19.
Mother D of Israel, now it's time for you to deliver, Mother. I know you wrote it down. You got it ready for us here. Ezekiel, what was that, 44, verse 14 down to what, Mother D of Israel? You wrote it down there, so what we got? 14 to what? Mother D of Israel.
Ezekiel
44. Oh, yeah, hold on, Mom. Don't cut those cells off. You might mess his train of thought up. Take a deep breath. Now, I said something in Isaiah 44. I said, write this verse down for me. I know it started Isaiah 44, 14. Now, how far are you going down in Isaiah 44, 14? What verse to what?
Isaiah chapter 44, verse 14 to 19. Mm-hmm. He hewed him down, sister, and taking the, what is that? Thumb thrust. And the oak, which he strengthened for himself among the trees of the forest, he planted an ash, and the rain doeth nourish it. 15.
Hold that point, mother. Hey, mother, I might break in on every time. I said, hold that point. So now he said he hewed him down cedars and taking up cypress and oak. So he's talking about two big expensive trees, them big old expensive trees. They hewed them down and then they cut these big trees. He said it's going to be a people way up the road going to be cutting down big old trees. They call it cypress and an oak. So it's going to be some people. This is prophecy to come in Isaiah of 700 B.C. He said, Isaiah, write down what they're going to do. They're going to be, it's going to be a people that's coming way up the road. Matter of fact, how long up the road? Hey, Mother E, how long up the road in Second Book of Samuel 7:19? How long up the road people's going to be? He said, now it's going to be a people that's going to come, and they're going to cut down every oak tree. You know, with extension for this prophecy, Mother E, is 2 Samuel 7:19. Let's talk about it in 7:19.
2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 19. Second Samuel, chapter 7, verse 19, reads, And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Yahweh, that thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And
stop it there, mother. Stop it there, mother. How long this prophecy is, mother? A great while to come. He said it's going to be a people that's going to take the big old trees called the cedar trees and the oak trees, and they're going to cut them down. They're going to come in the forest and be cutting trees down. And what they're going to do, that's a great while to come, and they're going to be having it in their stores. They're going to have people come all over the country with truckload of cedar trees, and they're going to have cypress trees. And you're going to see them line all up. If anybody rode the bus like I did, they had big trucks all over the place. And guess who was getting the trees out as quick as they can put them on their little bitty cars. You see that doing, Mother dear of Israel. They're going to buy the tree. And now they don't know how they're going to get it home. So God, dog, I'm going to buy this thing. Now I don't know I'm going to get it home. They're going to tie it up. They're going to take a blanket and throw it on top of their, and put a dent in the hood of their car. I think there's something. They're going to throw a blanket on top of the hood and put that big old tree on top of the hood and wonder why it's smashed in. You see? And guess who was lined up to do that? Yes. African-American, Negro in color, and Hispanic, and Latino, and Mexican, and Puerto Rican. All them pagan names that we got. We would line up getting them trees. You see that? But he prophesied here. He prophesied this was going to happen. Verse 15, mother. And what are they going to do in verse 15? Take your time there, mother. You own something. Verse 15.
Isaiah 44:15. Isaiah 44:15. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindles it and bake bread. Yea, he maketh a Yahweh and worship it. He maketh it a graven image and fall down there too. Verse 16.
What do you mean by? Well, I don't fall down to it. Well, how you get your present out from under the tree, Mr. Preacher? How did you get that gift box? How did you get it? Did the big teachers have to take you by your arm and reel you down on your knees and get up under there and get it? You got to, always get your present, you got to bend down to get it, Mr. Preacher. Somebody has to bend down. If you can't get your bad knees down, somebody has to get down. Because they said, we got you a present, Pastor, up under the Christmas tree. So how did you get it? Huh? You got to bow down and get it. Or somebody, or them big diggers got a hold up on your arm and lift you down. But to always get your present, you got to bend down and get it. And
where's
the next mother?
Verse 16. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasts and it satisfies. Yet he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. Verse 17. And the residue thereof he maketh Yahweh, even his graven image, he fall down unto it and worship it and praise unto it and say, deliver me, for thou art my Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Verse 18. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their minds that they cannot understand. Mm-hmm. Verse 19. And none consider in his mind, neither is there knowledge nor understanding, to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread unto the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stalk of the tree?
Ain't that something? So, mother, you telling me, according to what you read, if I got a tree anywhere in my presence and got presents and Bible things all on it, that is what in the eyes of Yahweh, according to verse 19 now, in the eyes of Yahweh, that in the last two lines, what is the good word? You go to the church, and they have a Christian presence up, or you go to their house, and they present at a tree in their house, according to verse 19, eyes of Yahweh, what is that, mother? What's that big word they got in verse 19, the last two lines?
Abomination.
Ain't that something? You hear that, mother? So how many preachers you know that got abomination in their church and in their house? How many that you know? Huh? Abomination is in their house. When you bring that tree in your house, Mr. Preacher, and you put the presence up on it, that is an abomination in the sight of your maker. Is that what we're reading, verse 19, mother? Well, read verse 19 again with a little more audio, mother. Come on. Get a little Herbert Keene in there, mother, and read verse 19 again for the national audience. Verse 19.
Isaiah 44:19, and none consider in his mind, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stalk of the tree?
You see, back in the South, they had a stove called pot-belly stove. When you cut a tree down, it was for you to put it in the stove and to bake. It was never designed for you to make that an abomination to Yahweh. The trees were for, because you didn't have no gas, you didn't have electric and all that kind of stuff. So the trees that you pulled to cut down back in the South, it was for your pot-belly stove. You put in the pot-belly stove, open the pot-belly out, and you put the wood inside of that, and on the top of it, they have it like you call it, like a oven or something. You can call it whatever you want to call it. And that's where you bake your bread up. That's what the true meaning of having to cut down the trees. The cedar trees and the oak trees, you cut it down small enough that you go back in the South, you see them right now. They got wood stacked in the the wood in there, and then it won't be a whole house. You didn't have no electric company sending no nothing going on. You have the big Potbelly stove, and that same Potbelly stove, you put your what you need to cook on. Can I get a hallelujah yakwa from one of the mothers on that? Can I get a hallelujah? Anybody gonna give me a hallelujah yakwa on that?
Hallelujah yakwa.
What y'all say? What you say? I said, I didn't know it was a stove. They called them heaters, pot belly heaters or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it was a pot belly stove. You open up a big pot belly and you put that cedar wood in there. And on top of it, you bake whatever you got to bake on top of that pot belly stove. That's what it was designed to. But this man got in there now and changed it all around and tell you now you got to put presents up on there and do the December 25th. They got nothing to do with the true meaning of December 25th. See, you did. So you know what he really did, Mother E, in the 2916, Mother E, Isaiah, what had this man really did to our minds in Isaiah 2916? Mother, can you help those see out in the national audience? What have he really did to our minds on December 25th? What really happened? 2916 of Isaiah, Mother. What happened, Mother E?
Isaiah chapter 29, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Surely you're turning a thing upside down. You'll be extinguished.
Stop it there, Mother. Hey, Mother. What don't happen again, Mother? Quote what you just got through reading. What don't happen again? This thing that done what?
Turning things upside down.
This thing been turned upside down. We don't have a clue that December 25th ain't got nothing to do with no Santa Claus. Ain't got nothing to do with no Christmas trees, no presents. Got nothing to do with today. Yep, this thing been turned upside down. And guess what we got to do? Straighten it out. Now we got to put on a straighten them out. Now, Mother E, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. Now, we're going to get a precept on what Mother read. We're going to Jeremiah 10, 1. And the big dignitary let me know. See, we can mute whatever microphone we want to. Yeah, this is our radio station. We can mute with whoever we want to mute. You right? Yeah, boy. Jeremiah 10:1. What is it saying 10:1? Let's read a little bit, Mother E. Jeremiah 10:1.
Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. Hear ye the
word. Read a bit.
Hear ye. The words which the Yahweh spake unto you, O family of Israel. Verse 2. Thus said the Yahweh, learn not the ways of the nations, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the nations are dismayed at them. Verse 3.
Yep.
But the custom of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hand of a workman with the axe. But they deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. Verse 5, they are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be bone, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. verse 6. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Yahweh, thou art great, and thy name is great and mighty.
Verse 7.
Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee do it appear. For as much as among all the wise men of the nation and in all their kingdom, there is none like unto thee.
Verse 8.
But they are altogether rooted and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanity.
Ain't that so? You hear that, Moses? He said in verse 8, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a teaching of vanity. That stuff that you're doing on December 25th is vanity. That is a stock of foolishness, according to verse 8. When you bring a tree in your house, back in the South, they brought a tree in their house and put four planks up on it and nailed it down to the wooden block. Now, ain't that something? Now they got it and come into boxes. You got to stand to it now. But back in the South, you go get the tree and you cut out four pieces of wood, and then you prop the wood up on the tree and nail it to your wooden floor. Now you know that stuff. Put holes in your floor to take the tree and put it in your front window. Then somebody will say, where your tree at? Well, it's in the front. Well, I'm in the back of your house. And you got to pull it up from the nails and take it in the back and show them the tree that you have brought out for us and nailed on your floor. He says, verse 8, Jeremiah 10, verse 8, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a teaching of vanity. You see, you say, that's enough. Now, you went out there, and you're going to spend all that money to get you a tree, and you'll spend all that money for what you did, and it only last you a few days. Now you got to throw the tree out, and the garbage man said, I ain't picking that tree up. So now you got to put that tree somewhere to wither up on its own. Engineer, you'll spend, and you got people come all over the world to your community. They come right to your pastor's church, and they sit out there, and your pastor tell them, bring me a couple of them in the church. Bring me a couple of them in here. Everybody buy a tree from the truck. Or you go to one of the local stores and buy one already put together with the stand in it. He says, this right here, according to what he tells Jeremiah, verse 8, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. A stock of doctrine of vanity. So how many preachers got a stock of vanity, but he gonna tell you, or make sure you pay your tithes, we will offer them donations. You see them? And you go hook, line, and sink on that. But do you know what it says, Mother D of Israel? Do you know what it says in the book of Sirach? Chapter 12, pick up verse 1. Just let me show you what the Bible says behind that. Sirach, now this is here in the book of Sirach. Now we're going to the 12th chapter, Mother D. F. Israel. Let's see what Yahweh says about you dealing with these pastors with the stock of that. We're going to find out now, Mother. We're going to the 12th chapter The book of Sirach, the book that was taken away from you. And Sister VFJ, you both look into that red book and peep at that red book to follow along. And let's see what he got written. And I say go Sirach 12:1. Hey, mother, dear of Israel. What? Sirach 12:1 says. Let's see what he says about this right here. 12:1.
Sirach chapter 12:1 reads, when thou wilt do good, know to whom thou doest it. So shall thou be thanked for your benefit.
Verse 2.
Do good to the Yahwali man, and thou shalt find a recompense. And if not from him, yet from the Most High. Verse 3. There can no good come to him that is always occupied in evil, nor to him that giveth no alms. Verse 4. Give to the Yahwali man and help not a sinner. Verse 5.
Read verse 4 again, mother. Hey, mother. Read verse 4 again.
Verse 4. Give to the Yahwali man and help not a sinner.
Well, wait, hold on, mother. Hold on. So what is a sinner? What that mean, a mother Eve? What's the biblical definition of a sinner? 1 John chapter 3, verse 3:3-4 on the right side of the book. What do you mean? He says, verse 4, give to the Yahwali man and help not a sinner. What's that supposed to mean, mother, that we can read in 1 John on the right side of the book, chapter 3:3-4? What's that supposed to mean, mother, that we can read?
1 John chapter 3, verse 3:4. Verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him, purify himself, even as he is pure. Verse 4. Whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law.
Oh! Sin is the breaking of the law, statutes, and commandments. He says in verse 4, give to the Yahwali man, but help not a sinner. If your preacher is breaking the law, statutes, and commandments, the Almighty told the sinner to tell you, you don't help him. Now, he's going to tell you why you don't help him. We're going to read why he said don't help him. If he's not keeping the law, or maybe you got a she as your pastor. If she or he is your pastor, your overseers, if they're not keeping the law, statutes, and commandments, the angel told the sinner, saying, put in writing, don't help them. Let's find out why. Verse 5, mother. Come on, mother, dear Israel. Verse 5, let's read a little bit.
Sirach chapter 12, verse 5. Do well unto him that is lowly, but give not to the unyakwali. Hold back your bread and give it not unto him, lest he overmaster you thereby. For else thou shalt receive twice as much evil for all the good thou shalt have done unto him.
Dabradale, you mean Yahweh tell you what not to do, and you do anyway. He said, by you doing that, helping a sinner that's not keeping the law, statutes, and commandments, he says, what he says in verse number 5, he says, he going to bring on you twice as much evil on you for doing what you just got through doing. Because you're doing it up on the emotions and traditions. You're not following the Bible at all. And that's the reason the Protestant Church in 1885 removed these books from you. Because they ain't going to never read this right here. And they don't want you to get nowhere near this. They want you to make sure you understand you're up on the grace. And don't understand that grace is only means of mother. Mother, he helped me out. For the definition of grace. Let's go to the book called Titus 2:11. Let's get the Bible definition of the word called grace. What do it really mean? What do grace really mean in the book of Titus 2:11? Read verse 10 and 11, mother. Let's go and take care of the Bible definition on this word called grace. The pastor will tell you grace means that you ain't got to keep no law. He done everything. But let's go see what the Bible says, the Bible definition of the word grace. We're going to Titus chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. See what the Bible says about the word called grace. You're not up under the grace, you're up under the law. Okay, we're going to find out, do the Bible support what you say, preacher? And Titus 2, 10 and 11. What did it say that, Mother E?
The book of Titus chapter 2. Verse 10 and 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 10 and 11.
Yes?
Yeah. Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Not prolonging, but showing all good that they may adore the doctrine of Yahweh, our Savior, in all things. Verse 11. For the grace of Yahweh that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men.
The grace of Yahweh has appeared to all men. The grace of Yahweh has appeared to all men. Now, mother, you better deliver the knockout blow on the Bible definition of grace. Here we go in verse 12. Here go the Bible definition on grace. Verse 12.
Who you talking to me, Mother E?
Mother E, continue in verse 12. We could get the Bible definition on grace. Hold on, Mother. Hold on, Mother. Hold on, Mother. Now we, in verse 12, for the grace of Yahweh have appeared, for the grace of Yahweh that bringeth salvation, grace brings salvation, have appeared to all men. That means your preacher knows the true meaning of what grace is. We get ready to read in verse 12, what is the Bible definition of grace that have appeared to your preacher, and your pope, and your cardinal, and your shepherd. Let's find out what the Bible definition on grace means in verse 12. What do you mean, Mother?
Verse 12, teaching us that denying unyahwaliness and worldly love, we should live sober, righteous, and Yahweh in this present world.
Oh, so grace is a teacher for us to live righteousness. So grace is not something that if you're not up on the law, you're up on the grace. Grace is a teacher to remind you that you have to deny unyahwali and worthy love, and live soberly, righteousness, and yahwali in his present world. So that's the Bible definition of grace. So grace is to make you understand you must be righteousness. Now, mother, precept that in Deuteronomy 6:25 and give the biblical definition of being righteous. So grace is not that you don't have to do nothing anymore. Okay, I'll give you a point, case in point. You behind on your light bill, and you say, look, Mr. Light Company, man, I need some grace. Don't cut my lights off. I need a little grace. He said, well, how much do you need, grace? I need about to my next paycheck. When you get paid? Well, I get paid once a month. So you want me to keep your lights on for another month? Yes. Can you give me the grace to keep my lights on another month? I give you 30 days, so you got your grace. Now, tell me something. When that 30 days is up, do you got to pay the bill or do your grace remove the bill? You see that? That means the 30 days you asked for, now you got to pay the bill because you asked for 30 days to keep your lights on. It gave you 30 days. It gave you the grace period for 30 days. So now the truck is coming to... I'm up on the grace with my life. Do that mean you ain't got to pay it? No. That means I got time to get it right. Same thing, grace. You're getting grace now by hearing Yahweh's voices of the true Israelites. We're telling you it's time to get it right. December 25th ain't got nothing to do with no stock or vanity, Christmas trees, Santa Claus, cards, giving, bring a tree into your house and mill it to your floor, eating that hog. You're getting grace now by hearing this broadcast to get it right. Grace is for you to get it right. Grace is to make sure you understand now how to get righteous. And mother, get ready to read the biblical definition of how you get righteous. Let's read it, mother, 6:25. Let's see what it say, mother. Deuteronomy 6:25. Let's say that, mother.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness that we observe to do all these commandments before the Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he has commanded us.
You see that? So you're getting grace by hearing Yahweh's voices of the true Israelites. Six nights a week. All week we'll be coming on at 7:30 because it's a feast day called a feast of dedication. You're getting grace now by hearing it to tell you come back to the law, statutes, and the commandments. Grace don't mean you don't got to do nothing, Mr. Preacher, because if you tell your bill collector, man, you need grace, he said, well, how much time you need? I need a 3 weeks to pay this bill. Okay, he going to come back in a 3 weeks and give you your grace. I mean, you got to pay him when he come back. Or then you get the truck outside putting your stuff out there on the streets. You see how them turn the thing upside down? Grace don't mean you can do what you want to do. You can sit on your head and come back into, you know, that's Christianity. Islam and Judaism. Grace is something that you ask for, and then you get your money together, and you take care. You're getting grace. Every time you hear the six of the morning camps come on this broadcast, we're telling you, get away from that foolishness. Now, come on back, mother. D up Israel. And read that verse again in verse number 5 down to verse 7. Now, listen good. Now, remember, this is the angel coming from heaven talking to the seer. Look what he said in verse 5 down to verse 7. We're in a book called Sirach. Chapter 5 down to verse 7. This is the book that the Protestant church in 1885, they snatched this way from you. You know, if you read that, we can't govern over you, govern your mind no more. If you read the books that we've taken out, then you ask your preacher. Hey, preacher, between Malachi and Matthews, what's going on between Malachi and Matthew? Oh, them the years that our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't talking. He wasn't talking for 400 years? Oh, no, he wasn't saying nothing. Where you get that from? Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. So that intermission page you see between Malachi and Matthew, them is 400 years. your preacher tell you today, you don't need, don't worry about that. That's the years that our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't talking. You see that? Now get over there and pay your tithes, funeral office donation, sit down somewhere. You see what he did tell you to? See? Them the years he was doing plenty of talking. He was putting a finger on Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. But they removed this from you because you think you African-American, Negro, and Latino. See? That's what you think you are. You respond to being Mexican, Puerto Rican, and Latino. Where that in the Bible? Where's African-American, Negro, and color? Where that in the Bible? See that? You ain't going to find none of that. But you know why you ain't going to find none of that? I'll read that Mother E. 28:37. Let me show you why you're not going to find none of that. Deuteronomy 28:37. Let me show you why you're not going to find African-American, Negro, and color, and Latino, and Mexican, and Puerto Ricans in the Bible. Let's read why. 28:37, Mother.
Book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 37. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 37. Verse 37 reads, "And thou shalt become a scornment, and a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Yahweh shall lead thee."
You'll be astonished and a byword. You'll be astonished and a proverb. You know, I have a proverb on you, lazy, syphilis, and a byword. You're going to be called everything but the Bible name that he gave you. He gave you your birth certificate in Exodus chapter 1, 1 through 7. And when you read Exodus chapter 1 through 7, which we're not going to read, it is your birth certificate, children of Israel. Your true name is Exodus chapter 1, 1 through 7. There's nowhere in there where you call African-American, Negro, color, or super cool, or black, or Spanish, Mexican, Puerto Ricans. You're not called by name one of them names. Your birth certificate is in Exodus chapter 1, 1 through 7. You're not going to find, you're not called no Judah, and you're not called no Hebrew. So all in this bywords and proverbs. So if you want to know, you look at Exodus chapter 1, 1 through 7, and then you figure it out or come to one of the class and we show you who you are. In Exodus chapter 1, 1 through 7. So all the names they call you today is a byword and a proverb. And you know what he said behind that? Hey, Mother E, what he said behind that in 28:47, 46 down to verse 50. And Mother D of Israel, I mean Luke, having that, they might have you write down that Luke chapter 1, 67 to 72. I know you got it in
yeah.
Right, Mother D of Israel. Luke chapter 1, 67 down to verse 42. I was coming back to that when the Spirit of Yahweh get me there. But Mother E, in the 28th chapter, Mother E, verse 46 down to verse 50. Passing the ordinance out, Mother E.
Chapter, Deuteronomy 28.
Yes, ma'am. 46 down to verse 50. Help the national order out on what he got. Now, since we are byword of the proverb, he going to tell you why you're going to be called a byword and a proverb. The reason why you call Latinos, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, and Peruvians, African Americans, Negro, and color, and super coons. Here is the biblical answer why these titles is on you by being a proverb and a byword. Mother, he get ready to read it in the 28th chapter, verse 46 to 50 of Deuteronomy. What did it say that, Mother E?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 46 to 50. Verse 46. "And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon their seed forever." 47. "Because thou servest not the Yahweh, your Yahweh, with joyfulness and with gladness of mind for the abundance of all things. Verse 8. Therefore shall thou serve thy enemies, which the Yahweh shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he hath destroyed thee. 49. Yahweh shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the ends of the earth, as swiftly as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Verse 50. A nation of serious conscience, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young.
Oh, yeah? Mother, you said that verse, Mother. Who is that, Mother? Let's go back to Esther. Who is not going to have no favor on the young, the old? Who is that, Mother? When you precept your Bible, Mother E, who's he talking about? They're gonna have no regard to the young, the old. They're gonna kick everybody in the rear. Who are they talking about, Mother? Let's go to Ezra, Mother. I mean Esther. Esther. Who fit this, Mother? Let's go and see if we find out who fit this right here. Who are they talking about? This is a code word for those who gotta understand who they are. And let's see who fit this, Mother. We go on to Esther, and we're going to look at, we're going to find out who fit this in the third chapter. I'm all over the place right now. But now I'm all over the place, Mother. And 3 verse 10. Who fit that, Mother? And Esther 3 verse 10. Who fit that? 3:10.
Book of Esther chapter 3 verse 10. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Aragog, the Jews enemy, Yahweh's enemy. Judah's enemy.
Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, enemy. So he had kicked the king to do what, Mother? Verse 8.
And Haman said unto the king, Ashtaroth, there is a certain people gathered abroad and dispersed among the people and all the provinces of the kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's law. Therefore it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them.
He says not to the king's prophet to suffer them. So then the king said, well, what should I do with them? In verse 13, he says, it's king, it's no good to have these people around with their mouth gone. So the king said, what should I do to them, Haman the Agagite, the descendants of Esau, translated day after the white man and the white woman, and the nation that helped them out? He said, what is your suggestion that we should do to Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon, the one you call African American, Negro in color? What is your suggestion we should do to them in verse 13? What is that, Mother?
Verse 13. Esther chapter 3, verse 13. And the letter was sent by post into all the king's province to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Judah, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar.
So now when we go back to Deuteronomy's mode, that was a prophecy in 28, verse 49 and 50. So now we understand exactly who was going to do the children of Israel in now by having the written records called the Bible. So now we go back to 28 chapter, verse 49 and 50, mother. We should be cooking in fine grease now. So now we know exactly this prophecy was fulfilled then and is fulfilled now. So now we read 28, 49, and 50 again, mother. We should be cooking in fine grease, mother. Come on.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49 and 50. Yahweh shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the ends of the earth, as swiftly as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Verse 50. A nation of serious conscience, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young.
Hey, Mother E, what that mean by a nation with tongues you're not going to understand? What tongue is that? According to, what was your tongue in 19, verse 20 of St. John? What tongue did you have in St. John, chapter 19, verse 20? What was your tongue, Mother? And let's see what tongue you did not understand in St. John, chapter 19, verse 20. What was your tongue, Mother?
It was St. John, chapter 19, verse 20. Okay. St. John chapter 19, verse 20. St. John chapter 19, verse 20. St. John chapter 19, verse 20. This Tyler then read, many of the Y'all got Judah for the place where Yahweh the Son was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin.
Wait a minute, Mother. So, Mother, so the tongue we got now, the English man tongue, or this Hispanic tongue we got, that was never our tongue. We didn't understand the Spanish language come from Latin. We didn't understand that. You know, a lot of people that, you know, that's Latinos, Mexican, and Puerto Rican, they think that they proud to be having that Spanish tongue. No, that wasn't your tongue. No. That tongue was beat on you, like the English tongue was beat on the African American and Negro. That ain't your tongue neither. Your tongue had to be in. But if you put 12 tribes of Israel, your tongue had to been, hey, Mother, which one are you going to pick out was the children of Israel's tongue, according to 19, verse 20? Which one of these tongues, according to 19, verse 20, was the Israelites' tongue, according to 19, verse 20?
The Hebrew.
Excellent. Excellent, Mother. Excellent. That was your tongue, Hebrew. When the one that's speaking the Spanish language today, that's not your tongue. When they came, when Christopher Columbus came over here, he had to bring interpreters that spoke Hebrew. you didn't learn that Spanish tone that you got now until you were taken back to Portugal and Spain. That's when you got that tone. That is not your native tone. That tone was beat on you exactly as the tongue was beat on us, the English tongue called the English language, the King's language. The tongue we spoke was the Hebrew tongue. All 12 tribes until Christopher Columbus and Hernan Cortez whooped that tongue in you and set up schools and taught you the Spanish language. That is not your tongue neither. So when you proud of vanity, that because you haven't been taught right neither. For those that got the Spanish tongue, those that got the Spanish tongue, whether you Latino, Mexican, or Puerto Rican, that's not your native tongue neither. Your tongue is Hebrew. That's why you got to know who you are. When they came over here and got your forefathers and mothers, you spoke Hebrew. That's why Christopher Columbus brought interpreters that can speak the Hebrew language, because that's the language you had. Now I got to get a precept on that. Look at WCC. Here, you got to precept that. All right. Mother dear Israel, I know you're holding mother. I know you're holding me that Luke. But I need a precept, mother. Can you help me out? Acts 21, mother. Can you help me out in Acts 21, verse 37, 38, and verse 40? I want to make sure that ones called themselves some pagan name like Spanish, Puerto Rican and Mexican, African-American, Negro, and color, and Jamaican. That's not your tongue. Find out what tongue the forefathers had that we can read. Mother D.F. Israel going to come deliver the knockout blow by going to Acts 21, verse 37 through 38 and verse 40. Where is that, mother?
Acts chapter 21, verse 37 to 40.
Hold on, mother. 21, verse 37, 38, and 40.
Acts 21. 37, 38, and 40. Acts 21, verse 37. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto you?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek?" Verse 38. Are not thou that Egyptian, which before those days made an uproar and led us out unto the wilderness 4,000 men that were murdered? Verse 40. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying.
Ain't that something? So when Paul was speaking to the nation of Israel, mother, Judah, Benjamin, yeah, Levi, and Simeon, Paul was speaking to them in what tongue?
Hebrew.
He was not speaking to them in English. He was not speaking to them in Spanish, because they didn't know nothing about that tongue. He was speaking to them in Hebrew. The people of Israel, they spoke Hebrew. 3-7, mother. 22:1-2. Acts 22:1-2. Precept.
Acts 22:1-2. Read. Men, brother, and fathers, hear you my defense, which I make now unto you. Verse 2. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent. And he said.
Oh, so when he was speaking Hebrew to them, they didn't say, what kind of language is that? No, no, that was their tongue. When Paul started speaking to them in their native tongue to the peoples over the king's head, the peoples got happy and they read back and listened because they had their native tongue. You didn't lose your tongue until the English man beat that tongue in you. The prophecy of it, you a tongue you didn't understand was the Spanish tongue and the English tongue. You had been beat into that tongue. You had to go to their schools to be taught the Spanish tongue, and which is a Latin tongue, and you was taught the English tongue. You didn't even say ouse right when they hit you side your knee with them sticks. You didn't say ouse the way they want you. They show you how to say ouse the way they want to hear you say ouch. You had another name for ouch, another syllable for ouch. You didn't say ouch the way you saying it now. That tongue was beat into you. See all this information you have to know. Now, mother, I got to pull one more rabbit out the head behind that one. Mother, dear Israel. See, the Bible would tell a story. It just, that's why it's so important for the land, school, banquet hall, and radio station. Don't you want your little grandbabies to finally hear the truth? You know, if you want to give up on yourself, don't give up on your babies. The buck got to stop somewhere. So contribute to this ministry. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to give the land, school, banquet hall, and radio station. You know, we ain't got to worry about them saying, well, you know, who going to talk tonight and who ain't going to talk tonight. We ain't got to worry about the big dignitary. But say, sir, we'll cut you off too. Well, I know you will. I know. But in the same token, we'll be saying, we're going to keep talking, you know. So what I'm saying, that's why you got to roll your sleeves up and get in where you fit in at. So you can't keep on sitting on the fence thinking it's going to get better because they're going to have, they're going to change their mind and stop and take the big boot off of you. How can they change their mind by taking the big boot off of you? Is it anywhere in the records? Do you know what mother he getting ready to read in Ecclesiastes 1:15 and Precepts 7:13 in Ecclesiastes in a regular book? See, listen, if the Bible supports all this great rainbow coalition stuff, then I'd be the first one to go with it. I'm not anti-anybody. I'm just pro-12 tribes of Israel. But I read in the Bible on what Yahweh had the seers to put in the Bible, and I can read Ecclesiastes 1:15, and mother getting ready to read it, and she can go right on to Ecclesiastes 7:13. See, we can read this right here. So I can't read about this rainbow coalition. It's never to your benefit to break the scriptures. To be in a rainbow coalition, you got to break scripture. Let's just see what mother getting ready to read in Ecclesiastes 1:15. Hey, mother, what you getting ready to read in 1:15 of Ecclesiastes?
Book Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. And that which is wanting cannot be numbered.
What, mother? That which is crooked cannot be made straight. Hey, But we got people today that think, what if, I'm going to straighten this one out. But this is one I'm going to straighten out. No, you're going to be in a divorce court and everything else. You can't straighten out what Yahweh have made crooked. You can't, right. You don't have the power to straighten out nothing he made crooked. If we read that or not, Mother, if Mother, did you just read that, or did I just say something just to be saying something? What did you read again in 1:15 of Ecclesiastes? What did you just got to read?
That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanted cannot be knocked.
Now, precept that to 7:13. Let's see who hands is in this, Mother. Who hands is in this, what is made crooked cannot be. Remember, this is the Almighty telling Solomon. He said, what I have made crooked cannot be made straight. Solomon, just put it in writing. All one going to read it is YHWH, Voice number 2 Israelite. So now, let's see who hand is in this, Mother, in Ecclesiastes 7:13.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13. Consider the works of Yahweh. For who can make that straight which he has made crooked?
Hey, what, Mother? Who did it? Who did that, Mother?
Yahweh.
Who?
Crooked. Yahweh.
How many letters is that?
Four letters.
How many letters is that?
Four letters. YHWH.
All right, Mother. Can I get a precept on that, dear Mother? How about 1 Corinthians 10? Let me get a precept on that, Mother. Let me get a precept on that, Mother. Y'all got to get a precept on that, Mother. Yeah, I got to get a precept on that, Mother. I mean, we got to get a precept in 1 Corinthians 10, Mother. Let's see what it says in 1 Corinthians 10. And we're going to pick up the verse number 20. 29 to verse 22. I'll tell you what, Mother. Hold on, Mother. Read verse 22 first. Then we'll skip. Then we'll come back to 20 and 21. Read verse 22. You said, this is what you just got to read now. You said, what Yahweh made crooked, it cannot be made straight. Can I get a hallelujah, Yahweh, on that? Most dear Israel, can I get a hallelujah, Yahweh, on that?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right. So,
okay.
Hey, Mother E, what do it say in 10:22? 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 22. Do we provoke the Yahweh to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?
Are we? You mean we stronger than he? We provoking him to jealousy. He said what he made crooked cannot be made straight. So are you stronger than he? If he made a nation of people's crooked, but you going to say, well, I'm going to straighten this one out right here. You saying you stronger than Yahweh, huh? You gonna straighten him or her out of another nation. You gonna do it, huh? I bet you find yourself in divorce court trying to straighten out something that Yahweh made crooked. I bet you end up in a divorce court. That's where you gonna be at, trying to straighten out something that Yahweh made crooked. He told you in Numbers 36, you're going to lose your blessing if you marry outside of your nation. That's in Numbers 36. If you marry outside of your nation, you're going to lose the blessing of Yahweh. And it's written in Numbers 36, 1 through 15, when you jump up and marry somebody outside of your nation, you're going to lose your blessing. Yahweh told Moses to take care of that in Numbers 36, 1 through 15. If you marry anybody outside of your nation, you up under, you're going to lose your blessings. That was the heavenly tablet saying. Numbers 36, 1 through 15. So you take it where you want to take it. You want to straighten out somebody that Yahweh made crooked, I bet you end up in the divorce court. I bet you be up in the divorce court sooner or later. Okay, now I'm up. Let's go to 10, verse 20 and 21. That's what you said, mother.
Verse 20. Verse 20 and verse 21. But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to Yahweh. And I would not that you should be fellowship with them. 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Yahweh and the cup of devil. You cannot be partaker of the Yahweh table and of the table of devils.
You mean that Bible say that, mother? Mm-hmm. You know what that means? That means, and you know the true meaning of December 25th is Yahweh came to keep the destruction of the other nations to get your kingdom. But you gonna jump up into a cross marriage, and now you going over and eat turkey dressing and hog, and you there for the wrong reason. You bring a presence and a tree. He said, you are the children of Israel. You can't do that. That's why he tell you, you got to have your understanding. That is forbidden for you to do that. You can't sit down at Yahweh's table. You reading Yahweh's table now in this Bible. And then all of a sudden you're going to put the Bible down to please your better half. Now you're going over granny's house and mother-in-law house. Now you eating chicken and dressing and potato salad, and you bringing the present to put up on the tree. He said, you can't do it. See? But you're going to do it, ain't you? Well, I got to please my better half. I'm out of going over to her mother's house for Christmas, and we're going to get her a present, and we're going to bring a present over there and put up on the tree. See that? Then we're going to sit down and thank our Lord Jesus Christ on eating hog and potato salad. You see what you're going to do? You're going to eat hog and potato salad now, and chicken and dressing. See that? You see what the man saying? That's why we come humble. We not anti-anybody. But the only way the 12 tribes of Israel are going to come out of this, what they up under, you got to follow the Bible. It's nothing in the Bible telling you you're going to be bringing no presents and doing no Christmas on December 25th. This is an eight-day feast of dedication of you getting your temple back. And Yahweh, when you read it in St. John 10:22-23, he comes to the feast of dedication on December 25th for 8 days. He ate them up, drank them up, like we're doing right now, eating them up and drinking them up, for 8 days on a celebration of you whooping Esau and his five sons, translated as the white man and white woman, out of your business. That is the true meaning of December 25th. That's the true meaning of it. It's on record. It's in the last two takes. Where the record at? Go to Feast of Dedication 1, Feast of Dedication 2, and tie it all in. That's a great series that you should give to your pastor. You're the one you pay them tithes, free will offering, and donation to. So, Mr. Preacher, I'm paying you my tithes, free will offering. Why didn't you tell me December 25th ain't got nothing to do with no Christmas trees, no Santa Claus, nobody giving gifts? It's got something to do with the children of Israel getting their deliverance in 148 B.C. Why can't you tell me that? Look at all the time I'm dedicated to this place. Look at all the time I'm putting in with my tithes, free will offering, donations. Look at all the money I gave you, and you ain't taught me nothing. you get yourself down in the bottom leg of fire, and I'm going behind you if I don't come up out of this. Yeah? So we only come to tell you. Until you're a ministry that's going to teach you the truth of the Bible. Help us help you land to grow our own food, temple, church, banquet hall, and our own radio station. We got to set it up. Yeah. But you know how it happens? When you get in where you fit in at. Now, pass me on. Read what it says here. This is saying, Josephus was around the time of the children of Israel. He was the eyewitness to destruction of children of Israel. This is what he wrote. Josephus, Book 14. Chapter 7, page 110. Antiquity. On page 110. Let no one wonder that there was so much wealth in our temple. Since all Judah throughout the inhabitants of the earth and those that worship YHWHA, even those of Asia and Europe, sent their contributions to it, and there was great wealth, and this was the way we did it in ancient times. Because you not can get to the six anointed camps, that don't mean you cannot send your donations, your contributions in. Here go people that didn't have no PayPal account. They didn't have no PayPal account. They didn't have all call that direct deposit thing. They had to dedicate somebody to get on their knee and take the offerings to the temple of Yahweh. And Josephus made note of it. Then as Josephus made note of it, now Mother D of Israel, let's talk about Paul in the 15th chapter of Romans, verse 25. Let's see what Paul, the word they used was contribution. Let's see what Paul says in the book of Romans, 15, figure of verse 24, as Mother D of Israel. Let's go see if we can pull a precept on this. We go on to the book of Romans. Mother D of Israel, because you can't make it to the six anointed camps, that don't mean you cannot go to PayPal or drive your car and get that money over to the temple so we can take care of the business. Because they did it old. They came out of Asia, Europe, to make sure it was plenty wealth in the temple. Josephus, Book 14, chapter 7, page 110 says they contributed, although it was a long way from the temple. So look in the mirror and see, is you contributing to this ministry that teaches you the Bible the right way? Now, let's go on and get a precept on that, Mother. See up Israel. We're going to Romans chapter 15, Mother. Now we're going to get a precept, Mother. Now we're going to get a precept. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 24. And we're going to read, Mother. We're going to see if we tie this in with a precept. Let's see what's going on in Paul's day. Now remember the book of Romans, that means Yahweh the Son was back in heaven. Let's see what Paul was doing in 15, verse 24. We keep reading and see what Paul was doing. 15, 24. Let's read a bit, Mother D up Israel. What was Paul doing, Mother? Come on.
Romans chapter 15, verse 24. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way, if word by you. If first I be somewhat filled with your company. 25?
Keep reading, Mother. Keep reading. Take your time. Keep reading.
Okay. Verse 25. But now I go into Judah to minister unto the saints. 26. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Archer to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jagdajula. 27. It has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles had been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things.
Ain't that something? You hear that, Mother? What he said, all that was going on in 24, he was wham, where he was at in 24, with that good talking, 24?
In Spain.
He was in Spain. He was in Europe. He says, if I come all the way over to Europe, and now and Macedonia is in Europe, he said, Paul said, I'm over there for the Gentile. That was the northern kingdom that's over there, and whosoever that had an ear to hear. He said, I'm over here, and I'm teaching y'all the right way. He says, I'm teaching you the right way called the spiritual way. I'm giving you the understanding of the truth that's been hid from you. He said, but it pleased y'all at Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain what? Contribution to the poor saints, which is at Judah. They was happy to do that. He said, but debtors they are, because we have 27. For if please them bury, and debtors they are. Over 900,000 is on this broadcast. Do you know you in debtors by listening to this broadcast? You in debtors. Isn't you learn the truth? He said, your duties. You see what I'm saying? Your duties is. Verse 27. And if thou if had pleased them very, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles, northern kingdom and whosoever want to be around them, have been made partakers of the Israelite spiritual thing, which is his word, their duties. Do it say duties, Mother? Hey, Mother, D up Israel. Do it say duties?
Hallelujah.
Is also to minister unto them in what kind of way, Mother?
Eternal things.
And that is contribution, your tithes, free will, offering, and donations. You is in debtors to pay your tithes, free will, offering, and donation on those that teaching you the book. Paul told them in Spain, and they got happy. See, yeah, Paul, we'll do it. We'll make sure you got, we got, because Paul said, I got to take a big bag of money back to the poor saints that said Judah. Now, we're going to precept that, Mother. Hey, Mother E, we're going to precept the poor saints that's in Judah. Who are these saints is, Mother? We're going to Psalm 50, verse 5 through 7, and Mother D up Israel. Precept that to 148, verse 14 of Psalm. Go back to back. Let's precept who these saints is that Paul then tie in 14:32 of Isaiah. Let's find out who are these old saints. Let's see, is it the saints over there in Utah? We're going to find out in writing who these saints is that you're supposed to make sure you minister to them and carnal things. And that is contribution, free will offering, donation for the radio station, land, school, and banquet hall. You say, you debtors, you are. You see all the people listening to this broadcast? Do you know you upon a debtors contribute to this ministry for land, school, banquet hall, and radio station? Let's find out what these saints here. Come on, Moses. Y'all go and break it down. Make those seers get happy. Come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse 5 through 7. Verse 5, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Verse 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for Yahweh is good. For Yahweh is good. Him said, Shalom. Verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am Yahweh, even more Yahweh.
Hey, mother, what did he call Israel in verse 50? What did he call Israel in verse 50, mother? 50 verse 5, what did he call Israel?
Okay. He called him my saint. Give him my saint.
Hey, what did he call Israel, mother?
The saints.
So the saints of the Bible is who, mother, according to 50 verse 5 and 7? Who are the saints of the Bible, mother?
Israel.
Now, we're going to get a precept. Now, mother, dear Israel, now, mother, dear Israel, just make sure the grandbabies have brought you a nice herb of tea and delivered it. That's one thing about the mothers. The mothers will put that, if you get up there, mothers will drop it on you. And I like that spirit. Mothers would drop it on you. And that's the spirit